I spent some time this week trying to find out. I'm waiting on our PowerPoint here. Trying to find out whether or not Jude, the book of Jude, was written in codex form on papyri or in scrolls and on leather or papyri. Some writers said the earliest recordings of the passage are found all the way back to 300 AD, some of them earlier. And the ones, children, you're dismissed, by the way, the one after you've already left. The ones that they have were written on the papyri. That's kind of plant. It's kind of squeezed together. It's slick. It's paper. Kind of a paper product is made out of that. And but I don't know. That's not neither here nor there. But I just say this. The book of Jude has been around a long time. A long time. I do understand that Jude lived right around the time of Christ. And very important that we learn to respect what he says because it's the Word of God. And so we're going through Jude. And now we're up to verses 17 through 18. Verse 17, I think, is kind of a transitional statement. And notice how he starts it. But, beloved. Whenever you see a verse starting with the word but, what does that tell you? It means now on the other hand, or having said that, let me give you the opposite. But, beloved. It's like a... Let me make a transition. So what has Jude been talking about? He's been talking about a certain matter, and now he drives it home. He says, but you folks, let's talk about how this applies to you. So what has he been talking about? I'd say one word. Apostates. Say that with me. Apostates. Not heretics. Apostates. Those who stand against the truth of God. But you know, they had crept in unawares. That's why we call them creeps. Verse 3, he tells us, stand up and fight for the faith. Take a stand. Take a stand for the whole embodiment of truth which has been delivered to us. And then he begins to describe these who stand against the truth, these apostates. Verse 4, he says, they sneak into your churches. They're undetected. Nobody detects them. They're just like you, just like me. And then he says they have no desire for godliness. And he says they twist the pure doctrine of the grace of God. They twist it into a false doctrine that supports their immoral lifestyles. They use their liberty as an occasion to the flesh. And in so doing that, they deny the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. In verses 6 and 7, he says, they're just like the immoral angels. They're just like the immoral angels who left their high position in heaven to be involved in the same immoral activities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They're just like them. Then he says they have filthy thought lives, dirty minds. They feed their minds on filth. They're involved in immoral activities. They have no respect for authority. They're irreverent in what they say. They're flippant about the things of God. Usually, that's one of the things that characterizes a man or a woman, but a man that gets involved in pornography. He becomes flippant about the things of God. Number 10, verse 10, they present themselves as authorities. It's like they're kind of now authorities. And Jude says they're authorities about things they're ignorant of. Their whole philosophy is based on their gut instinct or on their man-oriented opinions. He says they're corrupted by their own point of view. And then verse 11, they come up with their own means of salvation. Like Cain did. He talks about Cain. They're all about money, all about greed. And their end run is toward their own destruction, like Korah. That's what he says. Where God opened up the ground and swallowed Korah and all his family. That woke somebody up. Then verse 12, they're like reefs under the ocean. They're like clouds which appear to be full of rain but end up with no water at all. They're like the autumn trees that have no leaves for the second year around, and their only good is to be dug up by the roots and discarded. Twice dead, dug up by the roots. And verse 13, he says they're like wild raging waves of the sea. They're full of filthy foam. You know, those of you who have been on the ocean, you know the waves that come in, especially when you come out in the morning, that filthy foam. They're like that. They're like shooting stars, full of fire, sparkle, but they burn out. They're all froth. Interesting word pictures, is it not, how Jude describes these who stand against the truth of God? Then he says in verse 14, God will judge them. He says, Enoch told you about these people. They're ungodly, and God's going to judge them. Then verse 16, they murmur. Say that with me. Murmur. Like the cooing of a dove. Murmur. They complain. They're immoral, he says in verse 16. And they love to flatter. Oh, don't you look pretty today? Pastor, you are so handsome. What was that again? Pastor, you don't look at, you're older 40. Excuse me, I didn't hear you. Can you say that in my other ear? But they love to flatter. That's what he says. And they're all about politicking and glad-handing. Glad-handing is they want nothing to do with you until the cameras are there, and then they come in, smile, oh, good to see you, so they get their picture. That's what they're all about. Quite a picture. Now look at verse 17. He says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words. It means don't forget them. You know, there's something very special about a Christian who's all about remembering God's words. Don't you like hanging around with people who memorize the word? One of my heroes, Dr. Ed Nelson, is in his 90s. He always, about every time I've seen him, has a white shirt, a pocket here, and he uses 3x5 cards. Now, many of us use smartphones and whatever, but he has 3x5 cards, a stack full. And his 90s, of verses he's memorizing and reviewing, constantly going over God's word. And I just like to hang out with people like that. Hey, can I say my verses to you? Man, I got a verse today that is so awesome. Let me share it with you. That's like some of the men are involved in the 10-10-10 ministry with Pastor Jono. And they say, I've been in the word 10 minutes. I have been in prayer 10 minutes. And I've exercised 10 minutes. And here's a verse that means a lot to me. Boy, I like that. I like reading those verses. I should read some of them I got on text this morning. Well, David talks about remembering in the Psalms, and it's a special security to God's people who hide His Word in their hearts. Listen to Psalm 37, verse 29 through 31, the whole text. He says, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Isn't that good? Good passage to preach on. He says, but beloved, remember the words. That word remember is a Greek word which means recall from memory. Quote what you've learned. Bring it up what you've learned. So question for you, what happens when we fail to remember God's word? What happens? Well, Israel is a good illustration. Psalm 106:13, it says, they soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. No recall of God's word, so as a result, lust and immorality. So you think of this, not remembering God's word is very serious to God. Now, how many times have I been told, you know what? I can't memorize. But you know the names of all the Bronco players. You know the batting records of all the Rocky players. You know the names of the pitchers that have messed up this week. You know their names. You can tell me the headlines in the news this week, but you can't memorize the word? What's up with that? Amen? Well, it's like not remembering the words of God is very serious to him. Listen, one writer said, forgetting is a serious offense for a nation. And it brought down Israel, and it brought Israel down a vicious spiral of idolatry and desolation. I want you to turn to a passage in Judges, the book of Judges. Judges chapter 8. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Seventh book in the Old Testament. Judges chapter 8. Now I want you to listen to what God says happens to Israel after Gideon died. Look at verse 33, Judges 8. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. Now look at verse 34. This is the key. And the children of Israel, what? Remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. They didn't remember. No recall. Now Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says this, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. So, back to Jude. In this context of this little letter of Jude, what were these people to remember? They were to remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles. What were they to remember? They were to remember the New Testament. It's like they told you that in this time period, before Christ comes back again, these apostles told you the church would self-destruct. And you'll see something happening in the church which will devastate the power and the purity which was seen in the early beginnings of the local church. It will all come to be at the hand of these apostates. That's what the apostles said. It all comes at the hand of these mockers. These who are sensual, ungodly, and defiant. These men are irreverent. These men are immoral men, and they have snuck into your churches. Now, look at the next part of verse 17. They told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These are what the apostles told you guys. And you need to remember what they told you. Now, a little walk in history here. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. You don't need to turn there. Let me just talk about it. Acts chapter 2, remember what happened to the church on the day of Pentecost? Well, the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles. The leaders of the church experienced a very mighty and powerful, rushing, powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit, and thousands were turned to Jesus Christ. In fact, over 3,000 people came to know Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. And what happened to the church, that little group of people? It exploded to over 20,000 people. Almost overnight. Souls were being saved by the thousand. Lives were being changed. Why, I tell you, when the church met together for worship and prayer, the air was electric. I mean, can you imagine walking into those services? The power of God was put on display. Purity and holiness and prayer and revival and passion for souls and preaching and giving and sacrifice. Excuse me, sir. Yes, can we take up another offering? I didn't give enough. Excuse me, sir. Can I pray? Excuse me, sir. I have something from God. God gave me. Excuse me. All these things were intensified as the Spirit of God worked mightily in the lives of the believers in the church. And may I say, passion was high. The spiritual dynamic was awesome. Their worship was dynamic. Truth prevailed. Lives were changed. All of this going along. And so the apostles circulated among the churches telling them, hey, folks, this is what you need to expect in the future. Can you imagine in the early church? Let's take ourselves back. First century. You have to put up with me during the preaching, and all of a sudden, hey, folks, I just heard we have a guest speaker. Who? The Apostle Paul. No way, yes. That night, the service completely packed to overflowing. The preaching goes on to the early hours of the morning. Now, I'm not recommending, Brother Andy, you do that tonight. He's preaching tonight. Don't miss it. But what were they preaching? What kind of message did the apostles teach during the early days? Well, let me give you some of the things that they were teaching. These were some of the bullets, how would I say, the major topics that the apostles preached on. First of all, they constantly said, Jesus is coming again. Look up. The world will one day be destroyed. They talked about that. Peter talked about that. John talked about that. The universe will melt in a horrendous and gigantic holocaust. Peter talked about that. John talked about that. Sinners will be judged. All the believers will be caught up at the great snatch or the great rapture of the church. Be ready. Next time you blink your eyes, you could be in the presence of Jesus. There'll be a time of rewards, a time of suffering, loss at the judgment seat of Christ. They taught that. It's what the apostles taught the Christians. The lost, if you don't know Christ, you'll stand before the great white throne judgment, and you'll be judged because your name is not found written in the book of life. And God says you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Forever. And that's what they taught. Then Christ will set up his messianic kingdom and of glory, and he'll reign on earth. Then the new heavens and the new earth and the gospel will be preached, and millions of souls will be reached. So while these things were going on, the apostles, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, circulated among the churches, telling them what to expect in the future. Oh, but something more. Something more. Halfway through the message tonight, the Apostle Paul says, okay, isn't it exciting? Isn't it exciting that Jesus is coming? Oh, what a blessing. Let me talk about the judgment seat of Christ. Let me talk about the great white throne judgment. Let me talk about the rapture. Let me talk about this. But, oh, here is something. Pay attention. Take notes. Don't forget this. Here's something that will unsettle you, something very disturbing. You see, the Holy Spirit allowed the apostles to see things which are very unsettling, unnerving, very horrible, very frightening for us as a church, very unbelievable. What's Jude's point? What's he saying? He's saying all the apostles talked and preached and wrote about it Hey, folks, this is common news. Here it is. The church will defect from the truth. You're going to see that in the last times, which, by the way, folks, we are in the last times today. And you are seeing churches defect from the truth. And the church will become weakened and milquetoast in its ability to contend, to stand up and fight for the faith. You won't find confrontational sermons from the pulpit. You'll find a little ditty, a little sermonette for Christianettes who smoke cigarettes. That's what you'll find. You walk in, you can hardly see around because of the smoke and the lights. Hurry, find a seat. Hurry, find a seat. That will last for 40 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour. And then you'll get somebody to get up and give a little ditty, and you're wondering, what is he saying? Oh, he's got a book. I wonder if he's quoting from it. No, he didn't quote it from it. He referred to it. Wait a minute, you just started. Pastor Scott just preached 45 minutes to an hour. Man, I missed Pastor Scott. Well, come on back. We got people who have defected from Woodside, have gone to churches like that. And they come back and they say, you know what? It was all fluff. Well, don't be surprised by that. By the way, I'm not saying we're a perfect church or I'm a perfect pastor. You know me better. And they said there will be many who actually abandon the gospel. There'll be many who desert Christ. And oh yes, there will still remain a small remnant of faithful believers. But the church as a whole will defect from the truth. That's what the apostle said. One writer said it would affect whole congregations in the euphoria of these powerful days, days of miracles. Days of proclaiming the gospel fearlessly, being persecuted for it. Days of martyrdom, days of evangelism, days of turning the world side upside down. Back then they had days of living in the glow and the glory of transformed lives and days of worship and days of prayer. He says it must have seemed absolutely bizarre that there was coming a time when people who proclaimed Christ would defect. But it was true. Back to verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he describes it. Verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. It's like, hey, they all talked about it. They all told you there's going to be people who mock in the last times. And their lifestyles are about ungodly lusts. In the last times, they're so glued to their smartphones, looking at Snapchat and whatever, passing dirty, filthy pictures back and forth. And you take that phone from them, they're going to say to you, I hate you, I want to kill you. I've heard that from young people. Now don't be surprised by that. This is the last days. Peter talked about this just months before Jude wrote this. 25 years after Jude wrote this letter, John, the beloved, wrote the same things on the island of Patmos. Revelation chapters 2 and 3. In fact, Jesus himself gave John the words to speak as he prophesied of the defection of several churches of Asia. Let me tell you what he said. Hey, the Ephesian church, they're going to leave their first love. They make me puke. That's what Jesus said. They said the church of Pergamos, they're compromising their morals and their purity and their purity of doctrine. Church of Thyatira, they're passionate and they're corrupt. And Jesus even threatens to kill some of them. And then the church of Sardis, he said, oh, they're completely dead. They're devastated by the apostates who turn from the truth. And then Laodicea, Jesus said, you make me sick. So nauseated, I want to vomit. You're lukewarm. I confuse that with the Ephesians church. But hear me. These churches cropped up in the first century. And everywhere Paul and the apostles established churches, these things happened. Now hang on. I want to give you the words of Jesus. Turn to Matthew 24 quickly. Matthew 24. Listen to what Jesus said about this. Talking to his disciples. Look at verse 1, Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Oh, look at the beautiful buildings just being rebuilt. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately and saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Tell us, Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, it's like, Jesus, tell us what's going to happen in 2018. 2019, 2020. Tell us what's going to happen in the 20s and 30s if Jesus doesn't come back. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. It's like, hey, turn to CNN. ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, turn to them all. And you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Isn't that today? Amen? Jesus said, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. It's like disobedience to God, and His Word will spread. And as a result, many people will stop loving God and stop loving people. But don't forget the writings of Paul. Paul wrote, by the way, before Jude, and he wrote before Peter. Listen to what Paul said. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look what Paul says. Easy to find, Genesis, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, it's like, hey, don't be surprised. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, who end shall be according to their works. Don't be surprised when they talk about Jesus. They have a nice, cute, pious smile, and thousands come to hear them. Don't be surprised. Let me give you some more passages. If you can turn fast, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And look at verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. By the way, we're not to worship angels. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen. Notice what he says. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head from which all body by joints and bands being nourished, nourishments ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. Tremendous passage to study, by the way. Then 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I think that's the music today. They're giving heed to seducing spirits. Music is a function of the Spirit. Doctrines of devils. speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. How about 2 Timothy 3, 1 through, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 6 or 7. I think this is true of what we're seeing today. It says, this know also, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, 1, that in the last days, that's today, 2018, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, watch this, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth speakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now notice what you'll find in the churches. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Outwardly they look godly, but inwardly they deny God's power. They know nothing of the word-filled, spirit-filled life. He says, here's what they're like. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Then again, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let me give you a couple more. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 1. It says, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words or fake words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. A lot of powerful words there. Then 1 John 2:19, I'll just give it to you. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 5, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? Now go to verse 18. Jude. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. The word mockers means they revile, they make fun of, or they scoff Bible truth. Doesn't take you long to realize this in society. Amen? They laugh at you if you're a Bible believer. You just listen to KOA News for a while. You're going to hear some mocking. Any of these news stations, you're going to hear mocking of Christians. Their motto is this: we don't understand the Bible truth, so let's make fun of it. So they mock things they can't fathom or comprehend. That's what Jude said in verse 10. So here's what Jude is saying. Don't be taken back or surprised when you meet up with Dr. Mocker. You're going to be introduced to him in the last times. And these people live by lust. They have no capacity for holiness. They make fun of truth. Notice what it says. Who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Their walk, their lifestyle is all about their ungodly lusts. That's sensuality, immoral urges. What's their message? Their message is this: a prosperity gospel. Self-indulgence. I would call it health and wealth. If you serve God, God will make you a millionaire. I want you to give today. I want you to give all. Give your whole paycheck. In fact, give the mortgage of your house, and God will make you a millionaire. All right? That's the kind of thing you'll hear. One writer says, you know, I said this a long time ago. Listen to a preacher, and you're going to know what's in his heart. It's that simple. They want to talk of material prosperity. They want to talk about freedom in Christ. They want to talk of personal satisfaction and fulfillment. And all of that is simply their inability to cover their own self-indulgence. He says the prosperity gospel, dear friends, is a form of justified lust that mocks those who truly hunger for righteousness. So don't be shocked when all of a sudden you hear of their closet escapades. Don't be shocked. When you see them coming out of whorehouses and bars. Very gifted preacher, Andy, you know of him. Bible expositor, man, that wonderful preacher. Had to leave the ministry because he was found visiting the whorehouses. Hey, don't be shocked when you hear of their problem with drugs and alcohol and pornography. There's one preacher, a friend of mine, he was a great preacher, was stopped by the police for reckless driving and found that he was drunk. Found that he was a regular drinker of alcohol. Hey, don't be shocked when you hear them preach on health and wealth and spirit-filled life on Sunday and find out they're leaving their wife for another woman on Monday. That's been talked about for centuries. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about it. Paul talked about it. Peter talked about it. The apostles all talked about it. And now Jude is talking about it. Look at verse 19. He describes them even more. This is about as far as we'll get today. These be they who separate themselves. What's that mean? It means they're divisive. They're divisive. Divisive. Thought is they make separations in the church. They divide people. Cliques. They draw lines in the church and challenge people to take sides. And they encourage people to turn on each other. So in a sense, these apostates are heretical. And the motive behind a heretic is you become strongly opinionated about an issue, some tangential doctrine, and you begin to recruit people to your side or your opinion. You are passionate about causing people to stand for your opinion, and that will divide the body. And the Bible says in Titus 3:10, that kind of person who does that, watch out. Because he has a moral issue. He subverted and sinneth. Now here it says, these be they who separate themselves and they're sensual. There's a Greek word, psychikos. It means they're natural, they're soulish, they're animal souled. That's the opposite of spiritual. They're fleshly. One writer said they are motivated by the lowest element of the corrupt side of man's bodily nature. They have natural, rational abilities, but they're completely devoid of spiritual and experiential knowledge of God. Notice it says they have not the Spirit. Having not the Spirit, it says. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means they have not the Spirit. Right? They know nothing about the Holy Spirit's influence in their lives. They're completely foreign of the truth of walking in the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit. Holy Spirit's not in them. Well, what's that mean? It means they're unsaved. And we get quite a glimpse of the character and personality of these perverts from the Word of God. They give the idea they are part of a spiritual elitist club. They strut. They hobnob, they flatter. They're the life of the party, Jude says. They claim to know God. They claim to have some kind of a corner on truth. That's what he's talked about. They sure make you feel good about yourself. They flatter. When they talk about you at your church potlucks, they can sure flatter. They talk about their newest revelation from God. They talk about their great spiritual insights into truth. In fact, they have extra biblical stories that will thrill your soul. My experience with them, the ones that I knew and still know, normally they have their big rings. Or they got their wedding ring if they're still married. Maybe on the other hand, they have some huge gold ring or some gold necklace or medallion. They kind of strut. Then they've got a nice fancy car. But don't look where they live. They can't find where they live. Because they live in some mansion, maybe. And they give the idea that God speaks personally to them and they have a spiritual insight that nobody else has or nobody else has thought of. And what Jude is saying, the bottom line is they do not have a relationship with God. They don't know the truth. He goes back, he says they're proud. In Timothy, it says they're proud, they're know-it-alls, they're divisive. They claim to have that spiritual insight into God, but God has no relationship with them. They're without the Spirit of God. They're devoid. They're empty of the Holy Spirit. They're alive physically, but they're dead spiritually. They're sensual. They don't have the Spirit. They're divisive. They cause division in the body of Christ. All of these Jude has been saying. They know nothing of the Holy Spirit, Spirit-filled life. They're frauds. They're phonies. They're fakes. Bottom line, they strut around like they got some kind of a spiritual... holy, like they're part of the holy aristocracy. They present them as the privileged club of spiritual giants who have an insight into the things of God. Hey, that we as ordinary, dumb, ignorant believers don't have like they do. Do you get the picture? You think we adequately explained this negative view of what Jude is saying about false apostates? So what? What should be our response to them? Well, same old. Nothing new. These creeps have always been around. It's like, here we are. Just beware. Heads up. Be discerning. Be aware. Don't be hoodwinked by them when they come to your door. Don't let them sell you their Mormon Bible or the JW, Jehovah Witnesses Bible. Don't be hoodwinked. Number two, remember the words which are spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there will be mockers in the last time. Remember God's word. Learn to recall the scriptures. Memorize, meditate, learn to recall the scriptures. Then keep standing for the truth. Take a stand. Earnestly contend for the faith is what Jude says. He described them as this divisive, sensual. They don't have the Spirit. And then be encouraged through this. Hear me now. Be encouraged. Why? Here it is. These are in the latter times. What does that mean? That means Jesus is coming soon. Are you listening? Jesus is coming soon. You say, well, you know, Pastor, things are a lot worse than they were when I was a child. Yeah, they are. And they will continue to get worse until Jesus comes. Be encouraged. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Next week, we're going to be looking at verses 20 and 21, very positive verses. Keep growing into faith. That's what he says. Keep obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your prayer lives. Stay in the realm of the love of God. Realize that one day we'll demonstrate his mercy. God will demonstrate his mercy to us and give us eternal life. Amen? Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we're grateful that you warn us. All through the scriptures, you warn us of what will happen in the latter times, in the last days. Dear God, help us to be discerning, be wise.